Rue, you came here about the thing Xia Wu Ying captured. Why is Professor Hu interested?
You'd have to ask him. There are too many people interested in the secret that lies behind that belt plaque, for too many reasons.
Could he know what you know?
There are always whispers, legends, and half-truths. And of course, there's no telling with whom Garen might have spoken.
Dr. Hu is working on a dig in Lulan City. It could be in our best interests to work with him, on some level at least.
Unless this is a trap.
Well, there are two of us. Think they can trap us both?
Did you know that ego was sometimes the best bait in any trap?
Whose ego? The trapper or the trappee?
Upon occasion, both. I need to see the inscription that was on the back of the belt plaque.
Anya hesitated for an instant, then printed an enlarged image of the back of the belt plaque. Although she trusted Rue to an extent, she never was exactly sure how far. He always seemed to be willing to accept information, but he was hardly ever willing to divulge any to her. Even if he took off with the image, though, she still had copies of it. He couldn't keep her from seeking the truth on her own. Surely there was someone in New York's Chinatown who would be able to interpret more of it than Harry Kim had. It took Anya almost an hour to get through to Professor Hu. Most of that time was spent tracking down a graduate assistant who could give Anya a cell phone number to try. Even then, it took three attempts before Anya could get Hu on the line.
Ni hao.
Hello, Professor Hu? I'm sorry, I don't speak Chinese. My name is Anya Creed. You sent me a message about a Scythian belt plaque.
Ah, Miss Creed. Thank you for getting in touch with me. I would have been happy to call you.
No, this is fine. I was anxious to be in touch. The belt plaque has become quite a puzzle for me.
How so?
I'll get to that in a minute. I'd like to know how you became interested in it.
I specialize in the ancient history of my country, specifically the primitive cultures that sprang up before Emperor Qin conquered the seven warring states and created China. I'm presently at the site of Lulan City, digging for more artifacts.
I'm familiar with your work there, and to some degree, with that period in general.
That will save us a lot of time. As you know, archaeologists have traced the beginnings of the Scythian culture back to approximately 3000 BC. They traveled and traded extensively throughout Europe and Asia.
They also conducted a lot of trade along the Silk Road.
That is correct.
So what is their relationship to Lulan City?
Do you know what the Scythian Kurgan was?
A burial mound?
Precisely. Many of the Kurgans were plain, but some were, for their time, elaborate affairs built of larch wood.
The Scythians thought the larch wood could bring about renewed life.
Yes. Have you heard of the Scythian Tamgas?
Tamgas are the brand marks the Scythians left behind that allowed the various clan members to claim grazing rights to tracts of land.
Ah, you have been doing your homework, I see.
Ever since I identified the belt plaque as potentially Scythian in origin, I've been doing a lot of background research.
Brilliant! The Tamgas have been extremely important to our understanding of the Scythian culture. Historians have been able to track the movements of the nomads, as well as get some ideas of generational progression. Many of the marks remained similar over the years. They also marked treaties, community action, religious practices, and clan affiliations. The Tamgas didn't change at all for nearly 2,000 years.
But what does that have to do with the belt plaque I found?
That particular Tamga was ascribed to a Scythian known as Tochardis.
How do you spell Tochardis?
There is no correct spelling, as there was no written Scythian language.
Then how was Tochardis identified?
By his Tamga. That belt plaque you have, Ms. Creed, bears Tochardis' Tamga.
Anya again pulled up the image of the belt plaque on her computer. She studied the tiger image.
Tochardis' Tamga was the tiger?
A tiger's shadow, to be precise. Underscored by a sword.
Peering more closely at the belt plaque, Anya thought she could just barely make out the remnants of the sword and the dim outline of the tiger.
The tiger motif was used by others, but many of the Scythians preferred mythological creatures. Dragons, griffins, and the like. No one, however, replicated the three items from that belt plaque.
From my observation, the belt plaque is made of steatite. I could be wrong, but from everything I've studied, the Scythians worked in gold or bronze, not steatite or jade. If that is the case, then this belt plaque was made by a Chinese artisan, not a Scythian.
This is true, Miss Creed. The artifact you found was a copy of the original. The Chinese people also borrowed the rectangular shape of the belt plaque from the Scythians. But what you have is a copy of Tochardas's Tamga. It shouldn't exist.
It's an anomaly. Why?
Because, although their culture seemed to promise such an occurrence, as far as I know, Tochardas is the only Scythian to ever rise from the grave.
Rue stood at the ticket counter at LaGuardia at 6 the next morning and booked a flight out for 8:10 a.m.
Two tickets to Dunhuang, China.
Not exactly on stealth mode here, are we, Rue?
Ever since Doug Morrell's last call, Anya had been avoiding him and Bart McGilly. Doug was more interested in the boon of news coverage over her arrest than in her continued freedom, and she didn't want to put Bart on the spot with his department. So far, the media seemed to have dropped the story, though. The travel specialist quickly made arrangements for the flight to Dunhuang, routing them through Pudong Airport in Shanghai. They'd catch a puddle jumper after that would take them on to Dunhuang. Rue offered a credit card at the end of the transaction. The airline representative quickly ran it and returned it, after looking at his identification. She offered the card and ID back.
Thank you for flying with us, Mr. Loftus. I hope you and your niece enjoy your trip.
Rue handed Anya a ticket envelope. Looking inside, Anya found there was also a New York driver's license and passport in the name of Abigail Loftus. That explained where he'd gone when he'd left the apartment for a short time the day before. They left the ticket desk and began walking toward their gate.
Mr. Loftus?
Would you have preferred another name?
Abigail?
Abigail is a fine name.
Is that ID going to pass inspection?
Don't even pester me with questions like that. Of course it will. Give me your other ID.
After a brief moment of hesitation, Anya passed it over.
I'll hide these in my boot. That way, in case you need to identify yourself later, we'll have it.
Why are we flying commercial? Don't you have a private jet?
Yes, but how much attention do you think we really need to attract?
They entered a small restaurant near their gate and ordered food. Anya sat across from Rue at a small table, picking at a salad with little enthusiasm. Rue made short work of a barbecue sandwich in an attempt to avoid eating on the plane.
What do you know about Tochardas?
Until today, I had never...
Don't forget that I'm getting you into the Lulan City dig. If you could have done that on your own, you wouldn't have flown me across the country and met me in New York. And don't forget that whoever Huang Fu Cao works for is trying to kill me for whatever he's after.
All right.
Were Xiao Wu Ying and Tochardas related?
Before he was known as Xiao Wu Ying, he was called Tochardas.
Was either his real name?
No.
Is he still alive?
I don't know.
If he is, was he dead at some point in between?
I suppose so.
You suppose so? How can you suppose someone was dead?
A few of the nearby passengers glanced in their direction. A mother with two small children got up from the table next to them and wandered out into the main hallway.
Maybe we could be a little more circumspect?
Being a little more circumspect isn't going to fly. I need to know more of what you know.
If I tell you too much, I ruin the chances of you reaching important conclusions all on your own.
Did Tochardas rise from the grave?
From everything I've been able to learn, yes. Of course, he could have faked his own death. I've had to a number of times over the years. I've lived an extended life, but it's never been without risk.
Was Tochardas immortal? Or just long-lived?
By your standards? Yes, of course he was.
How long?
I don't know.
Who was Tochardas?
In reality? Maybe it would surprise you to learn this, Anya, but I don't know everything. That's what keeps my life interesting after all these years.
So, who was Tochardas to the Scythians?
A great warrior. One of their leaders.
I don't recall his name from any of the previous studies I've done.
Men who live unnaturally long lives, I have found in my own experience, tend not to want to draw attention to themselves if they can help it. Toshadis worked in the shadows.
Why didn't he stay with them?
He couldn't hold the Scythians together. They were by nature a group of wandering tribes. They built a few cities. Galonis, Ukraine, for example.
When did Toshadis become Shaoying?
Your guess about that would be as good as mine. Sometime after Toshadis was killed, Shaoying appeared on the scene.
Why would he reinvent himself and ally with the Chinese?
Not the Chinese, exactly. It was to the Qin dynasty. Remember, when Qin first came to power, there were 7 warring states. I suspect what drew Toshadis to Qin was the potential for the new country Qin was assembling.
Where is this going?
Qin conquered and united the 7 countries, providing the potential for the largest armies the world had ever seen. He declared a standard written language, providing for an ease of communications over long distances. He started building the Great Wall of China to keep out northern invaders and brigands, providing for stability and solidifying a base of operations.
That's not to mention cutting Toshadis off from any reprisal that might be forthcoming from the Scythians for taking whatever treasures he might have absconded with.
Quite right. Qin also controls the silk industry, and to a degree, the spice trade along the Silk Road, providing a large and stable economic base. The way Toshadis would have looked at it, allying himself with Emperor Qin would have been the best thing he could have done at the time. By becoming the Emperor's premier assassin, he was only a heartbeat away from world conquest and great fortune.
Except that Emperor Qin was ultimately betrayed by other men who wanted the same power he had.
Dissatisfaction among the powerful and trusted is likely the biggest risk any dictator faces.
So what happened to Shaoying? Were you able to find anything out from the print I gave you of the belt plaque?
He died.
How?
He was assassinated.
I thought he was the assassin.
There's always more than one assassin, Anya. There are entire families that take up the trade. Look at the Medicis of Florence. Some of them even had their own specially blended poisons. Designer drugs, if you will.
Flight 2231, New York to Dunhuang, China, is now boarding. All passengers, please report to gate 13B.
Shall we, then?
Wait. Who had Shaoying assassinated?
Perhaps, Professor Creed, this conversation could wait until we've boarded the plane. After all, we have quite a bit of time for conversation.
Anya nodded. They did have almost a full day of travel ahead of them. She and Rue stood up and joined the line of boarding passengers shuffling towards the skyway.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.
Lesson 1. You should never drive while watching a movie. Lesson 2. Do not walk around the subway watching your video iPod. Be safe. Graphic Audio. You can keep your eyes on the road and your ears in the movie.